Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
Revolution. And today is going to be a very fun show for me personally. I say that because it is fascinating that now with the internet and the broad scope of communication, and that communication giving us so much information quickly and easily with a few keyboard strokes is really awesome. And like everything else, there are the virtues and there are the vices. And we've talked about the vice aspect, or teenagers, and really people even my age, addicted to what's called digital heroin. And you can look that up. That long extended overuse of electronics, or laptops, desktops, tablets, smartphones, iPhones, all that good stuff, manipulates our synapses and our brain chemicals to the point where we react physiologically like a drug addict who's on heroin, smack, crystal meth, things of that nature. Our synapses start to adopt the ways of the drug addict. And then you see, especially, you know, in children, because they're not supposed to have so much authority over their lives, which is a grave mistake. These liberal, which they're not liberal, they're new age leftist parents empower their children, which really they are negligent. In the same way that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, knew that man could not handle ultimate absolute power on his own, gave us, whether it's true or not, at least we could say gave us the allegory, which there's always truth in allegory, took us out of paradise, and we had to fend for ourselves, didn't work out too well, wiped mankind out, except for 8 people. We'll get into that later. Man still didn't learn, and time went by, and we've got the Tower of Babel, more on that later, to ultimately, Christ had to come to basically straighten us out. And many of us have learned, many of us have listened. Christianity, the establishment Christianity, has been poisoned, if you will, again, with pagan practices, more on that later. And so, in the realm of Christendom, the minority of us have understood the infiltration that Satan has done, beginning with the Church of Rome and the Emperor Constantine mixing the pure form of Christianity with Sol Invictus. Very few of us understand that took place, and very few of us understand the ramifications and why we're here in 2017. So for me to qualify posting my show on Facebook into political groups, which, by the way, I gave the FU to one of them. I was hit on my wall with one of these admins' glorified hall monitors, power-hungry little ants craving for authority, have to make up a myriad of rules that we have to follow, and many, well, they're leftists that have become admins. And they bring that totalitarian attitude to Facebook. So I was giving a warning that this forum isn't for me to accumulate clicks for my show. And that I should have read the rules. I said, well, listen, I don't follow rules, you glorified hall monitor. I don't follow rules. And I am not just looking for an accumulation of clicks. I am sharing information that I feel is important for people to know. And instead of just putting up an article, which nobody reads anyway, they just look at the title. I mean, it's true. You know it's true. I'm going to venture to guess anywhere between 8 and 9 out of 10, look at the title, look at the picture, assume what it's saying, and then react accordingly without actually reading it. And I'm going to prove that today. So, I'm sharing information via an audio podcast. I share audio clips. I share articles out of my expense. I assure you, I am not making money on this. If I was that big, let me explain. I'd be doing what Alex Jones is doing, what Gavin McGinnis is doing. I would have my own website, which I don't have time to build yet. I own the domain name. It costs me money, but that was for my protection. But if I was that big, where I was making money, where I was profiting, I would move my show to my own website. I probably wouldn't be using Spreaker anymore, right? I would use my own platform. I would either charge a subscription, like almost all of them do, and Alex Jones does do that with Prison Planet TV, but his daily show, the Alex Jones Show on Infowars.com, he doesn't charge a subscription. He sells products. Products developed in-house by his people, or he makes contracts with already established manufacturers and retailers and gets private label permission. See, I'd be doing that. No offense, but I would not be wasting 30 minutes a day, because that's how long it takes. 30 minutes a day after my show is done, to share my show with all of the groups I'm in, and every time I'm invited, which really not invited, I'm automatically put in a group, I add that to my list of sharing my show. My time, my expense. So I am not accumulating clicks. So I got pissed off when I said, and I wrote it out, F-U-C-K-U, take your group and shove it. Because I don't follow rules. And I'm not a hypocrite. I have my own group page called The Truth Zone. Number one, it's open to the public. It's not private. It's not secret. It's not closed. Number two, I don't have any rules. Post what you want. React the way you want. I have been on Facebook for about 6 years, maybe seven. I've only had to pull one article, and I'll tell you why. More than three people, I remember that much, more than three people wrote to me and complained that it was so offensive. Yes, it was insulting Jesus, as I recall. It was so offensive, people complained and asked me to pull it. So I pulled it. That's the only time I've ever censored anyone. And that was several years ago. All right? So I'm not a hypocrite here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in hypocrisy. This is Facebook. This is social media. Now, if the Facebook people want to pull something, I don't have power over that. They own the platform. I don't. So, I don't believe in rules. I believe in the First Amendment. And I believe in popular opinion. So again, once I've pulled an article, that's it. So people can take their rules, and I even get pissed off, and this is growing. I'm in now like four or five groups where I send in my show or anything, send in any article, any original post, and send for admin approval. Give me a break. I mean, really? You're that shallow about yourself? You have to play power person? Get a job then, okay? You know, really. Be in a position of real power. Don't be a hall monitor. It's annoying. It's annoying. You know, I have to, there's this one group. I have to pose my, I have to have an introduction posing a debatable question. Well, you know what? Sometimes what I post, be it an article or a video, not of me, if I'm sharing an article, there's no room for debate. It is what it is. So, I now have to talk about, just to qualify to get in, to have my be able to post my show in certain groups, I have to lead in with something political. I'll get it out of the way quickly so I get to what I really want to get to. And that is, and there is a tie-in. What does separation of church and state really mean? Popular opinion says that the Constitution says, which is wrong, the Constitution says religion has no place in government. That is also wrong. And I've read many quotes about what the Founding Fathers said, what influenced our form of government. And that's the Judeo-Christian, especially the Christian scriptures, inspired by the life and times of Jesus Christ. More than 70 Founding Fathers and influential, you want to say American originals, felt that way and wrote it in their letters or books, their biographies, their diaries, whatever. Thomas Jefferson, by the way, nothing of that is found in the Constitution of separation of church and state. Thomas Jefferson, as president, wrote a letter to the Danbury, Connecticut congregation, I believe it was of Baptists. I believe they were Baptist, assuring them that government would not trample, which they've done anyway with 503C, I'll leave that right there for time constraints, government would not trample on churches established in the United States and would not infringe on their expression of religious faith. So it was not to keep religion out of government, it was to keep government out of religion. Amen. Matter of fact, on GodfatherPolitics.com, and I'm going to be talking about an article of them, but there's another article that says the President of the United States and his team are in Bible study twice a week. Now, popular opinion, which is wrong, would say Donald Trump is violating the First Amendment to the Constitution, establishing a religion and separation of church and state. No, he isn't. Not establishing a religion means there will be no church of the United States. The colonialists left the Church of England specifically. And the only reason why the Church of England was established, I believe it was King Henry VIII, was because they had this idea that it was the woman's fault if she only produced girls. And of course we know that's false. It's dependent on the man. If the Y chromosome doesn't dominate when he ejaculates into the fertilized egg, you're gonna get a girl. God set up nature, and if you look at the animal kingdom, every mammal, women dominate the population. There's a reason for that. Nature doesn't change just because population is different. The rule of thumb in the law of nature in the mammal class is more female than males because the male impregnates the female. She is now out of action, right? She's gestating the fetus. And fetus doesn't mean a parasite growing in a woman's body that she chooses to live or kill. Fetus just means in the womb, okay? So that's another show. So while the female is gestating, the male moves on and impregnates the next female. He then moves on and on and on and on and on. If there were more males than females, species would die. Do you understand? Species would die. That includes the human race. China, following the philosophy of kill the females and limit the amount of children you can have, well, they've loosened that because they have severe population issues. And women are fleeing China, coming here to have families. Okay? So when you fight nature, you eventually lose. I'll say that again. When you fight nature, you eventually lose. Communism, socialism, totalitarianism eventually loses and fails every single time because it is in our nature to be free. But if you're smart, you will let God's word lead the way because you'll be truly free when you leave this earth body and you go to heaven, should you qualify. And that's a whole other topic. All right? It's being spread now, first by certain non-believers. We all go back. We all go back to heaven. It's a done deal. Christianity, I talked about that last week. There's a feel-good Christianity moving in that says, just declare that you believe in Jesus Christ and your ticket to paradise gets punched, although Scripture says otherwise. I've talked about Matthew 7, 21, 23. And I challenged people in my Bible class last week. I was the odd man out. I challenged them with Scripture. And Matthew 7, 21 through 23 clearly states, Lord, I did prophecy in your name. I did miracles, and I'm paraphrasing, but it is what it is. I did miracles in your name. I declared your name. Lord, Lord, let me in. And Christ said to them, excuse me, though you did this, 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 and that, I don't know you, you practicers of lawlessness. Paul talks about in Hebrews, and I wish I, because sometimes I get inspired, and I don't have it right away, and due to time constraints, I'm not going to make you people wait, because dead air in radio is suicide. So I'm just going to paraphrase. Even Paul says in Hebrews, we are blessed to shine as an example to the world. You see? We have a duty to shine as an example to the world. And that doesn't mean continually practicing lawlessness and say, it doesn't matter. I go back anyway. Scripture says otherwise. And until someone can prove to me that Scripture is wrong, I'm holding fast. And now that's going to lead me to all of these articles. I can see the show's going to run late, but this is important. So, the first article is from Godfather Politics, Gary DeMar, July 29th. Does this new, and I would have put that in quotes, but that's okay. Does this new scientific discovery disprove the historical record of the Bible? Now, this is where the title of my show comes in. Two atheists got pwned on Facebook. If you don't know what pwned means, it's basically a slang term for getting called out and defeated in a debate on social media. You got owned, but they changed it to pwned. So that's the topic of my show, basically. So let's take a look. The Telegraph, a United Kingdom publication. Now, I'm gonna stretch this for you a little bit. I am not surprised that this is coming out of the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom, Britannia, is the last Roman Empire province to keep its name and still exist. England got its common law basically from the Justinian Code. And we as Americans, spawned from Britain, most of our laws are based on that. But here's the tie-in being the last Roman province. As I alluded to earlier in the show, and as I've talked about in depth, the Roman Empire, before the Emperor Constantine, was legally pagan, Sol Invictus, the sun god, who I showed in earlier shows a couple of months ago, that the sun god truly is Lucifer, the light bearer, Satan, the devil. And Constantine merged Sol Invictus with the Bishop of Rome and infiltrated, as I've stated, the pure form of Christianity. And of course, it spread to the United Kingdom, to Britannia, which is now the UK. So I'm not surprised that we're going to get an article that is trying to pull people away from the Word, trying to pull people away from the truth. See, this is Satan's work. What does Satan want to do? Satan wants to pull as many, many people to his side as possible. And Satan has not only infiltrated government, as he was allowed to do. 1 John 5:19 states, the world lies in the power of the wicked one. But he also, through Constantine, permeated and infiltrated, poisoned Christianity. And atheists, like these two guys on Facebook, tried to make me stumble with the following articles I'm going to read to you. So, here's the bullet points for a story about the study. This proves, scientific study, by the way, and this is what one of those jokers gave to me. Study disproves the Bible's suggestion that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out. The story and its fake headline have gone viral. Now, I found this article today. I disproved those two atheists on my own. I researched about the Canaanites, and I'm going to read to you. You're going to see I showed them in the book of Judges that the Canaanites were not wiped out, and God warned them what would happen. But this article expands it a mile wide. And if I could find those two jokers again, I'm going to send them this directly. So let's go to it. So let's start with the bullet points. Study disproves the Bible's suggestion that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out. This is the Telegraph. Bible says Canaanites were wiped out by Israelites, but scientists just found their descendants living in Lebanon. The Independent. Bronze Age DNA disproves the Bible's claim that the Canaanites were wiped out. Study says their genes live on in modern-day Lebanese people. The Daily Mail. Excuse me. Science finds evidence that ancient Canaanites survived today. Was the Bible wrong? Tech Times. New DNA study casts doubt on Bible claim. Mother Nature Network. Yeah, and more pagan bullshit. Excuse my language. The Bible was wrong. Civilization God, whatever that means, civilization God, I don't know what that means, ordered to be killed, still alive and kicking. Express. Genetic evidence suggests the Canaanites weren't destroyed after all. Ars Technica. Canaanites weren't annihilated by ancient Israelites after all. Newser. Study disproves the Bible's claim that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out. Click Lancashire. Canaanites survived biblical slaughter, ancient DNA shows. Now this is correct. They did survive, and I'll show you, though, more on that. ABC Online. DNA versus the Bible. Israelites did not wipe out the Canaanites. True. Cosmos. The Bible got it wrong. Ancient Canaanites survived, and their DNA lives in modern-day Lebanese. Pulse headlines, evolution. Yeah, evolution news. No. The Bible did not get it wrong, and we'll show you. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to know that the claim, these articles, is false. That's true. I found it in less than 5 minutes. What we see here is the perpetuation of fake history as news. No. What we see here is satanic deception that people have fallen for. These people are lost. Now, my wife says that I find glee in arguing with people, and I find glee in proving people wrong. But she says that out of my so-called shallow ego and the need to be proven right. That is false. What I take glee in is people making false claims against my Lord, the one true God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and his son, Jesus Christ, also called Emmanuel. God is with us, and he was in the form of Jesus Christ. And some people like to say Yeshua, which is a derivative of Joshua, which means anointed. I take glee in pulling scripture and pulling historical facts, which I will do both today. Yeah, this show's going to go an hour and a half, but it's necessary. I find glee in investigating through scripture and historical fact and proving these heathens, and I'm going to say it, whether they know it or not, they are minions of Satan doing his work here on earth. And yes, I take a glee, but it's not an egoic glee. It's a glee being victorious in the word of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a glee in fulfilling what Paul wrote either in 1st or 2nd Timothy, that the Bible, the scripture, should be used for reproving, reprimanding, and setting things straight. It doesn't mean going around, I just love you, so nice, so pretty. That's not our mission here. Our mission as soldiers of the Lord, and yes, we are. We're not soldiers with the gun or the sword or the improvised explosive devices like the other team, the Muslims, also Satanists, whether they know it or not. Our weapon is the Holy Spirit descended upon us and the Holy Scriptures, and now, with the aid of the internet, we can use true historical data. We could use true scientific fact. I'll get into that. This is going to be beautiful. And we can do it now so quickly. And now with the smartphones, we can do it on the run. We could do it anytime, any place, anywhere, in any situation. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, have two things with you at all times. Wear your cross and a good size one visibly out in public. Wear it loud and proud. Identify to the world who you are and have your smartphones ready. You never know when you're going to be challenged. Now, my pastor said last week that we should memorize some verses so that when we are engaged, we're ready. Well, look, he quotes, he knows more verses on the top of his head way more than I do, all right? And I've been studying for 25 years. But he's a full-time pastor. You know, I get it. But obviously, in some of his... Well, I'm sorry. He's going in the feel-good direction. He's forgot... There's no way. I'm sorry. There is no way that you could know every single verse from Genesis to Revelation. And even if you could, there is no way that you could just pull a certain one pertaining to the challenge that you're up against in the moment. It would behoove you, have your phone ready, go to Google, type in a thought, And that's what I did this morning. I've got 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 9 articles that took me 10 minutes to accumulate. So, obviously, you could get 1 or 2 verses within seconds and go to war. And it is a war. So, you have 3 weapons at your disposal. The cross, identifying to the world who you are. You've got, well, it's technically 2 physical weapons. And you've got your smartphones where you can pull scripture and you can pull scientific historical fact. See, that's your armor, not the gun or a shiv or any of that, or a fist. No. Your cross and your smartphone and go to war. So, we continue. Anyone only reading the titles of the above articles, as I said, as most people do, up the top of the article, oh, science proved the Bible wrong, and of course non-believers go, oh, I'm psyched, I could use this now. Oh, I can't wait for the next person talking about God. Oh, I got him now. Science says the Bible's wrong. The Canaanites weren't wiped out. But you see, they didn't take it to the next level. So, anyone only reading the titles of the above articles, as most people do, that's in parentheses, will come away believing a lie and repeating that lie to others. How do we know it's a lie? Because contrary to what the article states, the Bible does not say that the Canaanites were wiped out. And it doesn't. There are so many references to show that the Canaanites still existed. I'm going to give you those in the article, but one is not in the article, and it's clear. When I believe it was the second temple. No, I'm sorry. It was the first one, the Temple of Solomon. King Solomon commissioned the king of Tyre. I used to thought it was called Tyre, T-Y-R-E, but it's correctly pronounced Tyre. There were 2 Hirams of Tyre. There was a king and a master builder. So I think off the top of my head what happened here, obviously you got to get permission from the king, right? So Solomon went to Tyre and commissioned the master builder Hiram to basically be the foreman in constructing the temple. Well, as you will see coming down in this article, Tyre was part of the original region of Canaan, which also housed the Jebusites, which were the, where we get the word Jerusalem from. The Jebusites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites. You know that word Perez, that name Perez? Yeah, which is now in the Spanish community. The most famous Perez in baseball that was on the Big Red Machine, Tony Perez, P-E-R-E-Z. Do you think that was originally Spanish? Nope. The name Perez, I believe, is in the book of Genesis and is part of the Hebrew lineage. Or let me say, before they were even called Hebrews, they're in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, you had all these people living there. So, if all of the Canaanites were wiped out, you would not have Hiram of Tyre building the Temple of Solomon. So, let's move on. So, the following is from the original Telegraph article. The ancient Canaanites were not wiped out as the Bible suggests, but went on to become modern-day Lebanese. A study has found, excuse me, I took a sip of coffee. The Bible does not suggest the Canaanites were wiped out, which means the DNA evidence supporting the fact that there are descendants of Canaanite today supports the Bible. Crap, where's the continued reading? Sorry for this delay, folks. I had it on my phone. There should be continued reading on this. I'm embarrassed. Please bear with me. Okay, I'm gonna play just to keep you guys busy. Crap. It was on my phone. I'm gonna play you something about Agenda 21 for a few minutes. And I think it's important because Agenda 21 is part of the depopulation. Again, I apologize for this. Just please bear with me real quick.
This study is an urgent wake-up call to investigate the causes of the sharp, ongoing drop in sperm count.
Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many kings and prophets have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, to hear what you hear and have not heard it. I thank you, Father, for hiding these things from the learned and the wise and revealing them to the innocent and the simple.
Have sperm counts declined? Definitely yes. Our international team of researchers screened 7,500 studies for the first ever meta-analysis on trends in sperm counts. From 1973 to 2011, we found an alarming decline of over 50% in both sperm concentration and total sperm count among men from Western countries unselected by their fertility. When we restricted the analysis to...
Okay, folks, so I apologize for that. So I'll probably play the rest of this tomorrow. Yeah, they are depopulating us. And I'm gonna get into that tomorrow. I do apologize. So, I did find the extension of that, and again, I do apologize. So, the Bible does not suggest the Canaanites were wiped out, which means the DNA evidence supporting the fact that there are descendants of Canaanites today supports the Bible. The Telegraph article continues. Living between 3,000 and 4,000 years ago, the Holy Text suggests things did not end well for the people in the Middle East. According to a passage in Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 17, God had ordered the Israelites to exterminate the Canaanites. You should not leave alive anything that breathes, but you shall utterly destroy them, so that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things, their paganism, I added that part, which they have done for their gods, which is in lower G, denoting false gods. Now, here's the thing. Did you notice God had ordered the Israelites to exterminate the Canaanites? The Telegraph article doesn't give you a Bible verse that says the Israelites were successful. Do you notice that? You see, giving an order to someone, one cannot conclude that the person receiving the order, carried it out successfully, unless it's proven either by a response, hey, I took care of that order for you, or the boss writes in his logs, order received, order executed, carried out to success. You don't see that here. The telegraph ends with God ordered the extermination. And the atheists and the other non-believers, which you might as well throw them in. You're either with the cross or you're not. So I call them, and my wife gets angry with me, I call people like that antichrists. Because it's just the way it is. You were either with the cross, and you are either working to help Jesus separate the wheat from the chaff, or you are against the cross. That's it. So, you're either pro-Christ or you're anti-Christ. If that's too strong for you, you're either pro-cross or you're anti-cross. See, it's like with infanticide, that legally it's been called abortion. It's not pro-life or pro-choice. The opposite of life is death. You're either pro-life or you're pro-death. So, if you want to keep the word choice in there, because death is too strong, you are either pro-choice or you're anti-choice. And you could flip that to, you're either pro-choice or you're pro-no-choice. Woman gets pregnant, you got yourself a baby. And I understand the arguments about rape and incest and severe retardation. All I have to say is there are many people out there, there are many women out there, devout Christians, that were raped and kept their babies and they became very loving mothers. That's all I'm going to say. Same thing for, you know, things happen in incest. And, you know, Rick Santorum, now, he's got the money to do this. Because, I mean, I get it. If you don't have Cadillac health insurance, and you don't have crippling deductibles, I mean, I get it. Rick Santorum has a baby, you know, not born in the perfect human sense physically. I don't want to use the word retarded. I don't want to use the word disabled because, you know, a lot of people overcome that. So, but at any rate, Rick Santorum has the money to take care of a special needs child. Not everybody is in that position. I get it. But that's where it becomes a personal choice. And if, look, if you're determined, because I don't know. When the rubber meets the road, I could talk all day long. Well, I would keep the baby. Hey, when the rubber meets the road, that's when you find out for real. I get it. But then if you make that decision, don't ask me to pay for it. That should come out of your own pocket. Sorry. Or at least, if, and you know, I belong to Liberty HealthShare. They would never pay for that. Then let us continue to have the out because we're sovereign people. I have a Christian HealthShare that wouldn't pay for that scenario. That would have to come out of my pocket. So, legalizing infanticide, I don't think so. If you make that move, that's on your dollar. Or at least leave me out of it. If other people want to pay for it in their plans, their business, I know I'm ranting, but then that's between you and God. And whatever he decides, he might be cool with it. He might say, hey, you know, in essence, you did the right thing. You saved the baby a lot of suffering. He or she is back home with me now in paradise. I don't know. But what I do know is government doesn't have the right to make me pay for something I don't believe in. Done. So, let's continue with the subject. The command to wipe out the Canaanites is true. But what's false is that the Canaanites were wiped out. An article from the Independent Online states, while the Bible says they were wiped out by the Israelites under Joshua in the land of Canaan, and, you know, look, in the heat of battle, we've seen this happen in present times. Joshua, at that point, declared victory, and he was victorious. The Hebrews moved in and took the territory. So, in essence, you could say that he wiped out the army for sure, and he conquered the land. And perhaps in his writing, he figured they're done. But later passages suggest there were at least a few survivors. There were more than a few. All it would have taken for the above articles to get their facts straight was to, oh my God, my edition, read the Bible. But they didn't even have to do that. They could have done a Google search, like I did the other day when I pwned those two atheists. In truth, the original article should have read, Ancient DNA confirms biblical account. But that would not have served the paper's purpose. No, that would not have served Lucifer's purpose. To denigrate the historical record of the Bible. No. The purpose is to take people away from the cross. That is the agenda of Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And whether wittingly or unwittingly, all non-believers, all antichrists, anti-Christians, anti-cross, are doing Satan's work by lying to you people. Lying and twisting biblical fact. Science, when truthfully investigated, is proving biblical accuracy every single day. Now, it's 4 minutes to 11. I am not going to... I'll be here till 1 o'clock. I can't do... You know, I'm not going to do that to you people. I'm going to finish this article. This might take... Who knows? It might take the rest of the week. I don't know. But this is so important. Stay with me, audience. Stay with me. I'm going to make you so powerful. At the end of this series, it looks like it's going to be a series, because I've got 8 articles. I'm still in Article 1. I'm going to arm you with such power. And those of you that want to do the work of the Lord, I'm going to arm you with such power, you will be victorious. You will be victorious. And at the end of this series, at the end of this series, I'm going to play a song, and you will be glorious. So, this is not just this paper's purpose to denigrate the historical record of the Bible. No, this is Satan's purpose to deceive you and pull you out of the cross and add you to the chaff that either literally or metaphorically you're going to be thrown into the fire, and you will not be recorded in the book of life. Satan knows his time is short. Now, when I say that, again, I am not an end times preacher. I'm not going to say, whoa, the tribulation is going to be in our lifetime. Oh, it's going to happen tomorrow. Now, it could happen at any moment, but not even Jesus knows when that moment is. Only Jehovah Jireh knows. So, in the annals of a timeless, omnipotent, omniscient God, in his eyes, you know, it says in the Bible, a thousand years to us is a day to Jehovah Jireh. So, if we continue this way for another 10,000 years, which I wonder if we could, that's only 10 days to Jehovah Jireh. All right? So, can the time be near? Can we be near the end? Sure, we can be. But how we decide what's soon is different from what Jehovah Jireh sees as soon. And that's what we have to be aware of, ladies and gentlemen. So, the Canaanites were still in the land during the historical periods described in the biblical books Joshua and Judges. I had used Judges the other day to prove my point. Quote, but they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites live in the midst of Abraham to this day. I'm sorry, Ephraim. Excuse me, I had Abraham on the brain. Ephraim. Now, who is Ephraim? Ephraim is one of the sons of Joseph. Joseph and Benjamin were sons of Jacob, later to be called Israel, and his wife Rachel, who he truly loved the most. His intention, he was sent back to the Mesopotamian region, the land of his forefathers, to find a wife. Because you had to marry women of your lineage. And I'm not going to go, that's a whole other deal. It's not relevant to this point. However, Joseph got kind of screwed. I mean, Jacob got kind of screwed. He asked to marry Rachel, the second daughter. And it's sad because I can't remember the first one now. And that's terrible, but whatever. Leah. Leah was the first daughter. So, the father originally agreed. He goes, okay, you know, you can, you know, all right, you can marry Rachel. Well, Joseph, I think, gave a dowry of camels and gold, whatever he did. At the last moment, the father says, you know, sorry. It is wrong of me to marry off my second daughter and leave my first daughter as a spinster. My words. So he said, I'll tell you what. This is the father. I'll tell you what. You marry my first daughter, Leah. You stay here and work my land. Very convenient. And I believe it was 7 years. And in 7 years, you can then marry Rachel and go back home to Jacob. So he was able to do that. He starts having children. And Ephraim and Manasseh was the other son of Joseph. Now, as Jacob was on his deathbed, he was giving blessings. And this is how we get the 12 tribes, the 12 territories. When they were being made under Joshua, the Levites were not given a territory. They were the priestly class. They were given what we call sanctuary cities throughout the 12 territories. Now, that would leave 11, right? Well, of the 12 tribes of Israel, one of them was not Joseph. That blessing was handed to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. They made up 11 and 12. So that's where in the midst of Ephraim to this day, and they became forced laborers, slaves. Joshua 16:10, also 17, 12, and 13, and 16. Judges, first chapter, verses 29-30. There it is. Not only weren't the Canaanites wiped out or completely driven out, but the sons of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Judges chapter 3, verse 5. Some of the Israelites even married some of the Canaanites. This means there could be, and there most likely is, Canaanite DNA amongst today's Jews. It's even possible that among Solomon's 700 wives, and this led to the downfall of Israel, go into that later in the week, Solomon's 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. I mean, this man got around, didn't he? There was a Canaanite or two or three. You know, there could have been, right? A woman in need of healing is called a Canaanite in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 22. And a Greek of the Syrophoenician, that is where Tyre is located, who produced Hiram, the master builder, who produced the temple of Solomon. And this is in Luke's Gospel, 7:26. The two expressions, now this is the article again. The two expressions are identical for the land of Canaan. Literally, I'm sorry, this is a continuation, but it's a footnote from the writer, Gary DeMar. The two expressions are identical for the land of Canaan. Literally, the lowlands or the Netherlands, at first applicable to the whole of Palestine. Now, you see, Palestine was never a nation. Understand that. It was a Roman province. And it wasn't just called Palestine. It was called Syria, Palestine. That province encompassed what we know today as Syria, the nation of Jordan, and Israel, including Gaza, the West Bank, and as my Yiddish friends from New York would say, the Hoshmir. Okay? Understand that. So, at first applicable to the whole of Palestine, was confined in later times to the maritime plain of Phoenicia. In Joshua 5:12, the land of Canaan appears in the, now this is LXX, that means Septuagint version, as the land of the Phoenicians. The important point is that this woman was a foreigner and a heathen, a descendant of the worshippers of Baal, who's also the sun god, who is also Lucifer, the light bearer, Satan, the devil. She may have heard and seen Jesus in earlier days. Now this says CP, I think it means maybe Coptic Gospels, perhaps Mark 3:8. They about Tyre and Sidon, meaning the people of Tyre, see, and Sidon came to him. Now, how could they come to him if the Bible said they were all wiped out? Answer, the Bible never said it. The conversion of this woman could have been the beginning of the Christian conversion of today's Lebanese Christians. And then FYI, before a satanic demon, as I explained in my earlier shows back in May, before a satanic demon touched Muhammad, much of the Middle East became Christian through the apostles and their subsequent students. Satan, the devil, was being defeated by wiping out, well, reducing the influence of Babylonian paganism. And that's the root of it, folks. It originated in the Mesopotamian area, which is why Abraham was called out and said, you will go west to the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, and your name will be, it was Abram, changed to Abraham, you will be fathers of the nations. And quite frankly, that father of nations under the banner, ultimately, of Jesus Christ and the cross. And I'll stop right there. Well, let me just finish. And because paganism and human and child sacrifice were being done away with, and because Constantine saw that, hey, the man was a visionary. He saw his empire imploding from within in a spiritual struggle. Because no matter how many Christians were burned, no matter how many Christians were fed to the lions, no matter how many times Christians were crucified on the cross, the Roman Empire couldn't stop the movement. So Constantine had to make a decision. Infuse both beliefs. Make everybody happy to save the empire. That's truth. Christianity in Lebanon has a long and continuous history. Biblical scriptures purport that Peter and Paul evangelized to the Phoenicians, whom they affiliated to the ancient patriarchate of Antioch. The spread of Christianity in Mount Lebanon was very slow, where paganism persisted in mountaintop strongholds. A 2015 study estimates some 2,500 Lebanese Christians have Muslim ancestry. Well, because they got infiltrated thanks to Muhammad. By the way, through murder and slavery, not through love like Christianity. And you could even say that Judaism, right? The Hebrews had to fight their way. Christianity is the only religion. Now, don't talk to me about the Spanish missionaries, and which still did a good thing, but don't talk to me about the Inquisition and all of that stuff. I'm talking about from the time of Jesus, excuse me, from the time of Jesus to the time of the Council of Nicaea, which I think was 335 AD or CE. You want to use Annus Dominus or Common Era. In that window of 335 years, let's just say, give or take, Christianity spread throughout the entire Nile Delta. I'll get into that down the week. With no acts of violence. The early Christians persisted and persevered in love and truth. Amen. Proportionally, I'm sorry, let's finish that. So the Christians have Muslim ancestry, whereas the majority of Lebanese Christians are direct descendants of the original early Christians. Proportionally, Lebanon has the highest rate of Christians in the Middle East, where the percentage ranges from 39% and 40%, followed directly by Egypt and Syria, where most likely Christians account for 10%. Yeah, but you know what? Before this fake civil war, Christians were better protected in both Egypt and Syria. Now, Egypt and their regime change, not so much. And now Syria being under siege, not so much. The Telegraph article deliberately told a lie. Yeah. Because Satan is the father of the lie. He is the original rebel, the original resistor. He is the father of deception. Goes into the Adam and Eve story. And the papers and websites that picked up the story also told the lie. Well, of course. They're all minions of Lucifer. Does that bother you? Oh, well. Is it any wonder that the media has lost our trust? Because you see, folks, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I truly believe, and this goes to the homosexuals too, which is why they flip on you at a dime. I mean, they can really be ugly people. The suicide rates are up. Domestic abuse, depression, suicide, I think I said that. Infidelity, and their divorce rates are all higher than heterosexuals and then, of course, true believing heterosexuals. That's why they stole the word gay, which means happy and lighthearted. And I've talked about this. I've talked about this at length, that they're not happy and lighthearted. They're homosexuals. And as much as they try to convince you that they're happy with who they are, and maybe, you know, maybe of the 2%, and I think that 2% population is here in America or worldwide, forget the top of my head, maybe out of that 2%, there might be 10 or 15% that truly, truly, truly believe that and live accordingly. Oh, but that leaves the 85 to as high as 98%. Because they know, wittingly or unwittingly, they are living an unnatural life, which is an abomination not only to Jehovah Jireh, who created nature, but if you want to leave him out of it, they're living against natural law. And somewhere in their brain, they know that they're living a false pretext. And that's why they flip on a dime. I've seen it. And this is why, back to those two atheists, which have inspired me to create this series. When I left their conversation, I said, guys, look, you know what? I've been through this too many times. You're stuck in what you believe in. There's no point in for me to try to change you. So I'm going to bow out of this conversation. I was polite. I was polite. And I was doing my own thing. I had other stuff to do, blah, blah, blah. But I could see my other laptop that I do the show on lighting up. And it says, this guy commented. And it was the same two guys. This went on for like an hour. So I said to myself, let me check in, see what they're talking about. You're going to love this. And I shared this with my wife, which is, you know, you take pleasure in arguing. No, I take pleasure in proving the word of the Lord. At any rate, folks, they were having an hour, I would call it a debate. They were having an hour-long debate, uninterrupted by me, because I bowed out of it, on who could intellectually disprove the existence of God better than the other one. I'll say that again. They were having an intellectual debate on who can disprove the existence of God. In other words, they were fighting, loosely the word, fighting amongst themselves who could disprove the non-existence of God when they both agree that God doesn't exist. So it's lunacy. Why are you having an hour-long debate proving that God doesn't exist? You already agree. Move on with your life. You're not going to see two believers having a discussion for an hour trying to over one-up each other proving the existence of God. Now, they may talk about God, you know, and sharing scriptures and stuff, but they're not going to have like a debate, I can prove it better than you. No, I can prove it. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know what? Here's my belief. You know why they were doing that? Because somewhere in the deep recesses of their brain, deep within the subconscious fears of their brain, they know that God exists. As I said to them, and this is a page out of my wife's playbook, I said to those guys, you know, I do feel bad for you. What you've done is, you've disconnected yourself from God. Now, my wife says you've disconnected yourself from source. Well, God is the source. So we are in agreement on that, right? And one of them wrote back, well, I can't disconnect myself from something I've never been disconnected to. And I wrote back, no, that's not true. You just don't know, excuse me, you just don't know that you were connected to God. You don't know. But you, somewhere, somehow, you disconnected yourself. Either your parents didn't teach you right, or you got this somewhere, and for some reason, now, I didn't go this long, I'm telling you this now, somewhere, something resonated in you that sparked you to disconnect yourself. So you either did it, and this is what atheists do. Either atheists choose to disconnect. Now, it could have been trauma in their lives, a death of a loved one, and they blame God. And of course, how do you blame something that doesn't exist? That's also a good trap for atheists. Or your parents disconnected, and then when you were born, they passed that disconnection to you. But you see, I'm sorry, allergies. The disconnection is never a natural connection. You can't. You can't. You don't have that power to disconnect naturally from source, or I call Jehovah Jireh. You can't. It is done through choice. Either you made that choice or someone made it for you. Atheism is not through intellect. It is not through nature. It is through social engineering. It is done through manipulation. And the root form of manipulation is insincerity. Insincerity does not come out of love. Love does not come out of truth. Insincerity does not come from love, which love does come from truth. Truth comes from God. And in that, you could throw in, when people are highly manipulative and insincere, they also make what? Good liars. And again, who is the father of the lie? Satan himself, aka the former archangel Lucifer, the light bearer, aka the sun god, aka the invincible sun, Sol Invictus, Apollo, Saturn, Zeus, Odin, Moloch, Malcolm, Baal, Jupiter. You get the pit, and on Horus, on and on and on. And dare I say, and I will say it, Buddhism, excuse me, Hinduism, Taoism, New Age, all the branches of paganism, all of it. They are all against the cross. And since Satan, the devil, was given authority over the world, as shown in 1 John 5:19, the world is in the power of the wicked one. The fact that Satan, the devil, as Jesus was meditating in the desert, was able to offer not just the governments of where Jesus was residing, the Middle East, the devil said, I will give you all of the kingdoms. All of them. That's the Chinese kingdoms. That's the Japanese kingdoms. The South American kingdoms. The Middle East kingdoms. The European. The Scandinavian. On and on and on. I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world. Now, how could Satan have offered such a thing if he was not in possession of them? 1 John 5:19 proves that Satan is in possession. And look at our governments today. Then I'll get back to the article. Look at our governments today. Are they not embedded in satanic ritual? I mean, look at them. Look at the EU. Look at the United Nations. Look what's happening. I've talked about this. Jones says, Alex Jones talks about it. You could see it with your own eyes how far Satanism has infiltrated this world under many different names and forms, through government and through false faiths. You see it everywhere. This is about deception. This is a race against time. And again, I don't know what that time is. 1,000 years to us is a day to the Lord. So I don't know what soon means. And I don't know what end times mean. But I know that time here on earth is finite. Here it is finite. There is an hourglass. The definition of hour in the eyes of the Lord, don't know. And it is a race. The devil wants as many people pulled away from the cross and added to the chaff. That's going to eventually be burned for all times. Again, either literally or metaphorically, doomed, certainly out of the book of life. And the wheat will stay in the book of life. And he wants the number of wheat to be reduced. On the side of the cross, Jesus and Jehovah Jireh want the opposite. They want the chaff numbers to come down and the wheat numbers to come up. That is the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 11:30 and I've got about half of this article to go. So you know what? I'm going to save it for tomorrow. And I'm going to continue onward. I thank you for listening. I pray that you will listen to the whole hour and a half. I'm telling you, if it really means something to you to spread truth, and this is also historical and scientific truth, you'll see that. I promise you, I'm going to arm you with such power to debate and teach non-believers that the Bible is the origin of science and history as we know it today in 2017. And Michael B., your host, will continue onward and upward, and I will fight for the cross. I'm committed. I'm all in. I am committed to fighting for you and for the cross Till the day I die, and with or without me, I know that Jesus Christ is going to be victorious. Glory!